Breitbart News Daily. Thanks for being here. I'm trying to decide based on what we got more feedback to. So the first hour of the show, we talked about duty, honor, country, and West Point removing that from their motto and why. We played a bunch of the original speech by MacArthur. So we talked about that. We'll put that. That's obviously everything's available if you subscribe to SiriusXM. You can watch the whole show, listen to the whole show on rerun. But we did talk with Dr. Gork about that a little bit. So let's skip that segment. Instead, let's play the segment we did on addiction. I think the phone calls we took were in the second segment, so we don't get the phone calls here, but that's okay. So these are my thoughts on addiction. All these thoughts came rushing back when we were talking about TikTok. But all that TikTok conversation is not really about TikTok. It's about much, much bigger, much deeper, much more important principles than just that. So these are my thoughts on addiction. But I want to talk about addiction in this segment here. So 2 days ago, when we first started talking about, should we ban TikTok? Every single person for 2 hours said they're against it. And then we took one call at the end, and the guy was like, wow, I had no idea how many adults were so addicted to TikTok. How many conservative adults? So I got a lot of emails on that regard. Jorge says, listening to your show this morning, my conclusion is that China has succeeded. They've literally captured adult minds as well as the kids. Even adults can't live without it. Unreal. Vinny says, I'm stunned and saddened about the conservatives who are against this ban of TikTok. I agree with the people who have said that China's propaganda has already gotten a hold of them. So I want to speak to that addiction thing for a little bit here. So I have an addictive personality. Is that a thing? Addictive personality? I need to be very careful about what I engage in. It's one of the reasons why I've never had a drink of alcohol. I can't touch it because I know that's it. That'll be it. I can't do anything that looks like gambling. I think I mentioned the other day that during COVID, I got into the Robinhood, the stock trading thing, and it was horrible. It was horrible. It was like I just ruined my life for a year. I think I broke even in the end. Maybe I don't even know. But it just ruined every day. It was awful. I hated it. Can't touch video games anymore. Did the addicted to that when I was younger. So whenever I do anything, I'm all in. I just can't. So I bought a plant the other day for the studio behind me. A ZZ plant. I stinking love the thing. Now we have like 12 plants in the house. So I was like, this thing's awesome. Why do I not have a ton of plants? Like, we need plants everywhere. And now we're like living in a jungle here. So, I do not intend for this to come across as a lecture by any means. I just want to share three of the things that I think about for me when it comes to addiction. By the way, I don't know, maybe it does. I can't speak to like drug addiction or alcohol addiction. I don't know. Let me just share my thoughts. And if it applies, great. If it doesn't, then. The first thing I think about is it offends me to my core, the idea of being a slave to anyone. Being a slave to anyone. Would you ever be a slave? Like, how horrible. Someone telling you what to do, bossing you around, forcing you. Like, no. So I hate being a slave to someone. And then someone years ago told me that you can also be a slave to something. Not just someone, but to something. It's like, oh, whoa. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure enough. I hate being a slave to things. Whether it's a slave to coffee in the morning or ice cream at night, whatever it is, you're a slave to it. I used to have a bowl of cereal. I'm ashamed of it. I used to have a bowl of cereal every night. And I would rotate Raisin Bran, Honey Nut Cheerios with a banana, or Frosted Flakes. And I told that to a friend, and he looked me dead in the eyes. Looked me dead in the eyes. I'll never forget it. He said, you're a child. And that was it for that. I can't do that anymore. I don't like being a slave to anything. Seneca said, show me a man who isn't a slave. One who's a slave to sex, another to money, another to ambition. All are slaves to hope or fear. I don't want to be a slave to anything. To see people's lives destroyed by their addictions. And I get to the point, it's not just drugs. Like, that's the obvious one. But Tiger Woods was addicted. Just ruined his life. And we are all so addicted to our phones. And there's a cost to that. The cost is time. The most precious thing. Trump the other day, I forget where he was, but he gave some speech. And he's like, to be young. Look at you. You're all so young. What I wouldn't give to be young. I'd give all my money to be as young as you. That's the one thing that no matter how rich you are, you can't get back. And we just waste it. We just squander it. It's time away from family. It's time away from true rest and recreation. Time away from actual productivity. We're just a slave to it. We're a slave to this glowing thing in our pocket. Everything is fighting for your attention, and we just give it over so cheaply. And then just specifically on TikTok, we give it over to the communists, and I just hate that idea. So that's the first thing is I don't want to be a slave to anything. It's the first thing I think about when it comes to addiction, this thing that's pulling you and you're thinking about constantly all the time. It is enslaving you. So if you can break that, those chains, then that to me is true freedom. And that's what we're going for here, right? Second thing I think about. We've talked before about Ben Franklin's proposal for the seal of the United States of America. And this is it's a great story. It's true. It's a great story. And it's the story that we use when it's like, we were never founded as a Christian country. Like, of course we were. Even Ben Franklin, the secular founder, thought that the seal of America should be Moses leading the Israelites through the Red Sea with Pharaoh behind him, because America was the second great exodus from tyranny. That was Ben Franklin, the secular founder's seal for America. Which I think is amazing. Do you know what John Adams' proposal was? John Adams, his proposal. We ended up with the eagle. So what was John Adams' choice? Do you know what John Adams' proposal was for the seal? Hercules. Hercules? What do you mean? What do you mean Hercules? So here's the story. This is what John Adams wants. So Hercules is in the woods. He's trying to get some peace and quiet already. And he's met by two women. And the first is dressed modestly. She has a dignity about her, a confidence. And then the other woman is dressed more provocatively. And she says to Hercules, Hercules, I see that you're in doubt about which path to take towards life. Make me your friend. Follow me, and I will lead you along the pleasantest and easiest road. You shall taste all the sweets of life, and hardship you shall never know. That to me is, that's TikTok. There's so many things. It's really whatever your addiction is. It's that's, you just take that. It's like, oh, I'll do it. It's easy. She says, first, of wars and worries you shall not think. But you shall only be considering what choice food or drink, what sight or sound will delight you, what touch or perfume, what tender love can give you the most joy, what bed the softest slumbers, and how to come by all these pleasures with least trouble. You shall have the fruits of others' toil and refrain from nothing that can bring you gain. By the way, this is from 400 BC, Xenophon, as I'm quoting here. This story is 2,500 years old. So I'll give you everything you want. You don't have to work for anything. I'll give you, you can just take from whatever other people's toil. You can, it's like whatever you want, whatever you can fathom, it will be yours. Just come with me. And Hercules heard her and said, what's your name? I said, my friends call me Happiness. But among those who hate me, I am nicknamed Vice. And then the other woman, keep in mind, John Adams wanted this to be the seal of America. This is a pretty important story. Like we should all know this story. If John Stinkin' Adams thought that this should be the seal of the United States. So then Hercules turns to the other woman And she says, I will not deceive you by a pleasant prelude. I will rather tell you truly the things that are, as the gods have ordained them. For of all things good and fair, the gods give nothing to man without toil and effort. If you want the favor of the gods, you must worship the gods. If you desire the love of friends, you must do good to your friends. If you love honor from your city, you must aid that city. If you are fain to win the admiration of all of Greece for virtue, you must strive to do good for Greece. If you want land to yield the fruits in abundance, you must cultivate that land. If you resolve to get wealth from flocks, you must care for those flocks. If you want to grow wheat through war and want the power to liberate your friends and subdue your foes, you must learn the arts of war from those who know them and must practice their right use. And if you want your body to be strong, you must accustom your body to be the servant of your mind and train it with toil and sweat. So if you want something, you got to work for it. That's just the truism of life. So then the harlot jumps back in and says, Hercules, mark you how hard and long is that road, is her road, of which that woman tells. But I will lead you by a short and easy road to happiness. And I'll stop there. Virtue goes on and gives a long speech. And she tells this whole story about how all these people who choose that way, they choose the quick, immediate, short pleasures in life, they regret it. They always regret it. But if you work hard in your youth and you grow old in wisdom, you'll be favored by the gods, beloved by their friends, and honored by your country. Oh, Hercules, thou son of godly parents, if thou wilt labor earnestly on the wise, thou mayest have for thine own the most blessed happiness. So if you choose this path of virtue, which is up a mountain, if you choose this path of difficulty and toil, then you will find happiness. That's what John Adams wanted the seal of America to be. And here we are scrolling through TikTok 5 hours a day. Are you with me? All right, so here's John Adams. So he wrote this to his wife. He says, I propose, he's talking about the what everyone's proposing. He says, I propose the choice of Hercules, the hero resting on his club, virtue pointing to her rugged mountain on one hand and persuading him to ascend, sloth glancing at her flowery paths of pleasure, wantonly reclining on the ground, displaying the charms both of her eloquence and person to seduce him into vice. But this is too complicated a group for a seal or a medal, and it's not original. I love it. He's like, it's too much going on. I guess it won't work. And I love that it's not original. What do you mean it's not original? I never heard of this before. I went most of my life never hearing this story. And there's John Adams being like, everyone's heard it. So maybe it won't be good seals. Not original enough. What? Back then, there were tons of paintings about this moment. And today, we never hear the story. If you want to see a painting, Matisse has a good one. The Choice of Hercules, but if you just Google that, there'll be a ton of paintings. There's a similar scene in Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan when Christian is carrying his burden and he meets Mr. Worldly Wisdom. And Mr. Worldly Wisdom says, why are you carrying this burden? Don't go. Oh, this silly book? You're doing what this silly book tells you what to do? No. Come on. Come with me. I'll get rid of your burden. I'll take it away from you. Just follow me. Come on. And he says, we shall meet with safety, friendship, and contentment. Just come on, take the easy way, take the flowery way, take the simple path, take the quick way. We'll take care of you. That's what we do. We choose the safe and the easy path. And we become gluttons and slothful and soft. Become soft. That's what it is. We're soft. So, to go back, we talked about duty, honor, country in the West Point in the first segment. We talked, it was a couple weeks ago, last week, we talked to the head of military readiness under Trump. And he's like, yeah, we've dumbed down, not even the right word, but got rid of all the physical requirements to be in the military. So what are you talking about? What do you mean? Yeah, you have to do 10 push-ups. 10 push-ups. You have to run a mile in 12 minutes. That's not running. You can walk a mile in 12 minutes. So to join our military now, you just have to be able to walk a mile? What in the world? We are so unbelievably soft in every way. And that's what addiction does. Addiction makes you soft. It makes you weak. And every time you cave into it, you get weaker. That's it. Every time you cave into it, you get weaker. And every time you say no, you resist, you get stronger. You choose the path that Hercules chose. Addiction falls under gluttony, I think. And then now we're getting into the cardinal virtues. The cardinal virtues, the seven cardinal virtues, three theological, four are the cardinal ones. And cardinal means, it's from the Latin word meaning hinge, like the hinge of a door. It's what everything hinges on. Should we take a minute? Let's do real quick. Let's do the cardinal virtues. So there's the three theological, that's faith, hope, and charity. And then the four cardinal ones. These are the ones that everything hinges on. They're pivotal. They're essential. Everything hinges on it. Prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. So prudence is just common sense, doing what's wise. Justice is being a man of your word. Fortitude is courage, and temperance is doing thing. It's not abstaining. Actually, this maybe ties in. Let's go to Andrew in Virginia. Hey, Andrew, how you doing, man?
Hey, Mike, always an honor, and your message every morning is just fantastic. It resonates so well. I wanted to ask you about a caution on abstinence of vice if you also become a slave to your own inability to have moderation with things. I struggle with this because I haven't smoked pot in over 20 years because I'm afraid of doing it. And I do struggle, mind you, it's better to not do the thing, but I struggle with why it has so much control over me as a method of fear. And I was curious what your thoughts are on if there is also something lost if you let fear control you too much to where you become a slave to your own fear. Does that make sense, sir?
No, absolutely. That's that's a really good point. I don't, Andrew, I appreciate the call. I don't, how do I answer that one? I don't think I'm afraid. I just don't want to. I'm not like, oh, if I have a drink of alcohol, then I'm not like afraid. It's like, it just won't be good. no thanks. I'm out. There's an interesting, so we can go to Ecclesiastes here and talk about the pleasures of life. I'm not the Puritan that would say you can't take in, and the Puritans didn't really believe this either, but that you can't enjoy the beautiful things and the good things of life. There's a sweetness to the nectar that you should bring in to this beautiful world that God created, no question, and should not be afraid to consume it if it can be done properly. I think that's right. There's an Aristotelian mean to all these things, but it's just what is wise and what is prudent. I see your point, Andrew, and I think that's what temperance means, right? So we think, at least during Prohibition, temperance was like only about alcohol. And you could take that too far. You can abstain from everything. You become like a monk or something, right? And you just abstain from everything. And it's like, no, that's right. That's not it. Temperance means you take what is good to the right length and no further. And that's just up for everyone. It's up to everyone to decide. Right? Not everything's unlawful, but not everything's wise. C.S. Lewis says you can be just as intemperate about lots of things other than alcohol. He says a man who makes his golf or his motor bicycle the center of his life, or a woman who devotes all her thoughts to clothes or bridge or her dog, is being just as intemperate as someone who gets drunk every evening. Of course, it does not show on the outside so easily. Bridge mania or golf mania do not make you fall down in the middle of the road, but God is not deceived by externals. So we can be addicted to all kinds of things. Okay, so that's it. That's all I got. Those are my three stories. Whenever I'm tempted, by the way, when I'm about to pick up my phone, like remind me of these. I need to remind myself all the time. There's no conquering of anything here. But when I'm close, I don't want to be a slave to anything. I think of Hercules choosing to climb the mountain. And then I think of temperance as a virtue. Proverbs 16:32. Dwight Eisenhower's mom used to tell him this proverb all the time, as if like that gives it the credibility it needs. And that, like, why did I feel the urge to say that? Like, it was like, hey, you know, Proverbs 16:32. No, wait. Dwight Eisenhower liked it. Like, it's the word of God. It's, isn't that funny? You can quote Seneca and John Adams and Xenophon, and you're brilliant. But Proverbs 16:32. No. Who else liked that? Oh, Dwight Eisenhower. Whoever's slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit better than he who takes a city. So it is better and it is more impressive to have self-control over yourself than it is to conquer an entire city. Alexander the Great, one of the greatest conquerors in human history, he was an alcoholic and had a horrible temper, and he was at a banquet once and he killed his best friend and he immediately regretted it. And he had all these, I'd rather take your calls here, and we got Ron Johnson in a second, but he threw an apple at his friend and then he's like, give me a knife, and no one gave him a knife. And he's like, play the trumpets to call the army, and no one blew the trumpets. So then he found a javelin and he threw it at his friend and killed him. But he had all these opportunities just to chill out, but he couldn't. He couldn't conquer himself. Even though he could conquer the whole world, he literally couldn't conquer himself. He killed his best friend. So I guess I do bring up Eisenhower. Eisenhower smoked. He smoked like 5 packs a day. And then one day he decided to quit. He just quit cold turkey. He said, the only way to stop is to stop. And he just quit. Talk to Senator Ron Johnson on today's show as well. That will probably be an article on Breitbart.com. So instead, we'll give you our segment with the Gorka man.
Gorka, did I see the Gorka man? Yes, stand up, Gorka. Quick, get up. How good is he? Sebastian? Seb. They call him Seb. I call him Sebastian. Thank you, Sebastian. I just spotted you. It's lucky you're nice and tall.
The Gorka man is here. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, how are you, sir? Oh, do we have the Gorka man? I don't hear the Gorka man. The Gorka man. Oh, wait. I think I hear the Gorka man. He may be tall, but his cell reception is not working. Hold on. I think, I kind of hear him. I hear him. I don't, Dr. Gorka, can you hear us? Sir? Oh, it sounded like he was like headed to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like the classic... Mic's still on. Don't know it. Don't know. Didn't Vivek do that the other day? He was doing like a Twitter live. He's like, hey guys, I'll be right back. And kept his mic on. I think that actually happened. He was there a moment ago. This is the great art of stalling, which is a tricky type of stall right now, because we know he's there. If I had to stall longer where we don't know if he's here, then I would feel free to dive completely into a topic knowing that we're going to be there for a while. But just the few seconds stall is a tricky one, because I can't get into anything, right? Because what can I get into that's 10 seconds long that I can hop out of quickly? I suppose I could talk about how it's my daughter's birthday today. Do that. But see, now something like this is going to happen where now he's on and now I can't even talk about that anymore. That's a tricky stall right there. Dr. Gorka, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Good morning, Mike.
And to you. We played the clip of Trump calling you the Gorka man.
I did a poll on my website. People want me to say Dr. G, though.
Oh, not in my heart. You're the Gorka man.
Oh, Gorka man. All right. I'll have to start making T-shirts.
Sir, we kicked off the show today with West Point changing their motto from the words of Douglas MacArthur. And we played a good 5 minutes of MacArthur's speech. Just to drive home the power and the importance of that. And it's no longer duty, honor, and country, sir. It's now build, educate, train, and inspire. What's the problem? Why are you upset about that?
Well, because duty, honor, country are the three words that have been the summary and the perfect précis of what the most prestigious military academy in the world has represented, and everybody knows that. And why would you, the question is, why would you change that? I mean, and what have they left out? Well, it's the word country, right? It's the word duty. Mm. It's the word honor. So what are wrong with those concepts? And then you know, you kind of now and again, you try and do a sanity check. Is there really a culture war in America? And then when you find the Pentagon is doing that, there is no question. I mean, Andrew Breitbart was right. Politics flows downstream from culture. How do you change a political environment? You change the culture. What was wrong with representing and standing up for the country? Well, if you don't want borders, and if the country is bad, if it is a hive of patriarchal, cisgender neocolonialism, well, of course, you have to sabotage the very motto of the institution that is most identified with creating the next generation of military who will protect our nation's national sovereignty. So just when you think they can't get more egregious and in your face, they do things like this.
Ah, that's so right. I didn't pick up on the focus on the word country, but that's definitely it.
Yeah.
I made the point earlier. I think I may have stumbled on something. Let me throw it to you and see what you can do with it. So good, beautiful, and true. That's what we got. And my argument is that the people who are dead set on destruction actually have a better radar for what is good, beautiful, and true than your average person, and maybe even than most conservatives. Because we could maybe walk past a sign at West Point that says duty, honor, country, and not recognize how truly wonderful that is, and just walk by it and not have it changes. But the woke destruction person will walk by that and like, and they'll notice, oh, that's good, beautiful, and true. It must be destroyed.
I like that. I think you're right. I think those, the good guys, can so take these things for granted and even fall into the trap that, oh, that's so obvious. Well, of course. I mean, if you're going to be leading men into battle at the risk of your life, well, of course, duty, honor, and kind. I mean, it's like kind of obvious, isn't it? And therefore, you don't even think, hang on, some lunatic could come around the corner and then dismantle that, as opposed to the other side. And for them, it's not that they, you know, the radar picks it up. It's that it's offensive, right? Mm. You know, to them, it is what, duty, honor, but you're white and you've got white rage and you're a heterosexual. How dare you? How dare you, you know, stand up for the principles of this civilization, because this civilization is itself evil. I mean, that's to them, you know, in, I'm not trying to be facetious here, is the trigger. They are triggered by the beautiful, by the true, by the good. Therefore, for them, it's always something that, you know, pops up on the radar screen to be attacked. I mean, think about what's happened. How did we wake up one morning and every element of the culture, I mean, every element of the culture, except talk radio, belonged to those who hate America? How is that possible? Because we took things for granted. Because we just thought, I'm going to live my life. I love America, but I'm not going to do politics because, you know, politics isn't my bag. And I'm just going to live my life. Well, when you have that attitude and you take things for granted, guess what? You actually cede the battlefield to those who actually have a plan because they detest everything you love. It's, people don't think about what Andrew's famous saying goes. You know, every cool conservative can say, hey, Andrew Breitbart, oh, yeah, politics is downstream from culture. But nobody's ever stopped, at least, you know, in the conventional world and said, okay, what does that sentence mean? And what that sentence means is really deep. I mean, Andrew didn't come up with that. I mean, yeah, ancient Greeks knew this, but he just made it into a catchy phrase. What it means is any issue that matters, whether it's life, whether it's the border, whether it's education, whatever it is, the Second Amendment, by the time it arrives to this stinking city, to Washington, D.C., it is settled. It is done and dusted, right. 20 years before in the schools. No, in Hollywood, in the media. It is done. You're not going to settle a political issue on Capitol Hill. Mm. You're just going to dicker around the edges because it was decided, you know, on cable TV. It was decided on, you know, social media years ago. And this is why, for them, it's a literal trigger to assault and dismantle. And for us, we've kind of just taken it for granted.
That's it. So good. First of all, done and dusted. Great throwback to your England days. I think that's a term we should bring into America. I like that a lot.
Is that British, done and dusted?
Yeah. Yeah. My British friend, or at least my British friends use it all the time. Okay. That's all I got. That's all I know. Yeah. So I keep going back to the even suggestion, the offhand suggestion, let alone, you know, proposed bill in Congress that we should have illegal aliens in our military. The idea that that is even a thought is like, oh,
yeah.
We're like, yeah, way past healthy. Like, we're not even,
go to last week. I mean, so I'm always super cautious because, you know me, I hate, you know, conspiracy theories. And when I see something really crazy, I it's like, you know, the first rule of reporting from the battlefield, all reports from the battlefield, all initial reports are wrong.
Yeah,
so when I hear something crazy, I wait 24 hours. And then somebody before my show early morning sends me this memo from the Department of Veterans Affairs banning the photograph of the GI kissing the nurse.
That's right.
In New York at the end of the war, say, oh, this is misogynist, and this was a sexual violence
sexual
that was not,
yeah,
permitted, not consented, yeah, right? And I looked at it and I said, this can't be true. This is just insane. The letterhead looks kind of homemade on Word.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait, and I need confirmation. And then sure enough, I wait 6 hours. Everybody's reporting it, blah, blah, blah. And then 6 hours later, what happens? They got caught. It was a, you know, made at home letterhead, but by a deputy at the VA under Biden, this woman who hates heterosexuals. And then the secretary realizes, oh, crap, we've got an election in 8 months. The president's giving a State of the Union in 48 hours. I didn't authorize this. Of course, that lovely photograph of a man kissing a woman is not being banned from the VA. But then you realize, I mean, think about what person says a man kissing a woman, and the story is really sweet if you research it.
Yeah.
The man's wife was standing behind them. He kisses this nurse because a nurse has saved several of his buddies in,
yep,
theater from dying. And they just declared victory in Europe. And he kisses this nurse to say thank you. They stayed friends till the day they died, despite the fact that he was married. And then this has to be banned. My God, are you a cultural lunatic?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
this is the Biden administration.
Yeah, they went back like in the 80s and reenacted the kiss at the same spot before.
Yeah.
It's like everyone.
Right.
So we played a clip of John Muir, ABC Nightly News, which is the number one news, like by far, like it crushes like all like Fox News shows or whatever. It's great, which is like a weird thing that broadcast news is still like a thing. But it was 2019. The man passed away. So they did a little kicker story tribute at the end. And John Muir looks at the camera. He's like, oh, what a wonderful image that is. And it's like, whoa. That was five, yeah, years ago, and now we have to ban it. Like light speed changes that are happening culturally. And,
well, you know, let me tell you, that's the good news. You know, that really is. So you go back and you play the clips of Obama saying, "Oh, a marriage is between a man and a woman,"
yeah,
or you know, Biden saying, "Every abortion is a tragedy," and you know, this is awful, and then you realize, oh my gosh. I mean, literally, we've gone to, you know, killing the baby after it's born, according to Governor Northam. And then, you know, the transgender thing is actually leading to the mutilation of 12-year-old girls at Boston's Children's Hospital.
So where's the good news?
You think the good thing is the red pilling of tens of millions of people who didn't pay attention, who think politics isn't their bag. I mean, think about it. There's a reason, you know, my wife, who hates politics because she's sane, ran for local office. is now the chief election officer in our district, is now running for the local chair of the GOP. My wife, what, is involved in politics? Yeah, I'll tell you what the trigger was. 3 years ago, there was a drag queen story hour for children at the local community center. And she said, not happening on my watch. So you know, it's like a good friend of mine, Austin Rue, said, it's a great time, you know, despite the insanity, it's a great time to be a Christian. It's a great time to be a Catholic. Why? Because sainthoods are ripe fruit on the bottom branches of a tree, because there's so much evil out there. Mm. You know, we are in a target-rich environment where you can be a hero every day by what? You don't have to pick up an M16 or an M4. You just have to tell the truth. You know, you can be a mini libs of TikTok. When somebody says something insane on the left, just repost it and you will be red-pilling thousands of people instantly. When the devil literally comes out of the closet, it's really easy to be a warrior.
That's great. I want to get your thought on something that happened Friday, last Friday. So this would have been after you were on the show last week. We had Jenna McCollin, I think it was earnest, honest. And he said, and we're talking about the State of the Union. And he said, you know, Slater, Biden's not that bad. He passed the infrastructure bill. And that's like haunted me. It's been almost a week now. And I keep thinking about that, about how little that is, how pitiful that is. And what a sign that is of a country that used to do amazing, awe-inspiring, like settle the West things. And now we're like, well, we repaired a highway overpass. And I'm like, I don't know, is that a thing? Am I harping too much on that? Or is that a sign of,
no,
of just,
well,
petty?
Well, look, there's two responses to that. Number one, you mean the country that put 12 men on the moon six times? That we've sunk into, oh my gosh, there's war in Ukraine in the Middle East, but we have the infrastructure bill. I mean, the guy's just, you know, he's just pulling your chain. And then on top of that, what do you mean that we fixed the, you know, I travel the country, right, every week. Well, what do you mean we fixed the bridges and the roads? No, we haven't. There's no such thing as the reality of the infrastructure bill. So, you know, it's a Democrat talking point, but it's not true. And on the flip side, this is going to be November's, you know, deciding point, I think, because, you know, it's the economy, stupid. If you go out and buy some food, it's 40% more expensive than it was 3 years ago. So don't talk to me about infrastructure when you have to, you know, put your children's Lunchables on a credit card because you can't afford them because, you know, you're not Rachel Maddow. I mean, the discrepancy between the elites who think the infrastructure bill actually means something and the life of the average American. I mean, I should play this every single day. I mean, we all should. Just the Super Tuesday clip of Maddow, Reid, and Psaki saying, I live in Virginia, and I don't understand these exit polls. The Trump voters say the number one issue for them is the border. But Virginia isn't on the border. And then the ha-ha-ha from Maddow, well, it has a border with West Virginia. I mean, that is literal three Marie Antoinettes telling you what the situation... Give me a... What? The infrastructure bill? As the great Rich Miniter said, we were having lunch yesterday, forget left and right. Forget Republican or Democrat. The split today is between the unaccountable and the accountable. Those that live in a rarefied world where they can do their job on their laptop in any Starbucks that has Wi-Fi, they are utterly insulated from the economic reality around them. And there are those that actually work for a living and live in the real world and are accountable and have to make payroll and have to buy a new pair of shoes for their kid for the next semester at school. That's the reality of the infrastructure bill and whether Biden's a nice guy. But here's the good news about it. Here's the good news. He's their candidate.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he may have ranted for an hour, but the fact that he didn't literally, you know, have an aneurysm at the podium means he is which is mind-blowing, right? A guy who we know, thanks to Special Counsel Hur, committed multiple felonies over a series of decades with regards to classified information, a man whose son is working for the Chinese, for the Russians, for the Ukrainians, for the Kazakhs, for the Romanians. That guy is going to be the candidate. Is superb, because then if we do our part, President Trump will win.
That's right. Here's the clip.
If you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall.
Just that laugh. That laugh, yeah. Mike. It's like, screw you. I'm in my gated mansion with my armed security. Screw you. Who? Ha, ha, ha. The derision, the utter, and it is the right word, the utter contempt they hold for real Americans. I mean, you think about that. That joke is made, Mike, within days of Blake and Riley's murder.
Not a border state.
What kind of heartless bitch are you? I mean, really? Lake and Riley's funeral has just occurred, and you're laughing about Americans' concerns about illegal immigration? You're a whore to politics. You really are.
I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Yeah.
That's inexcusable. That means you literally have no soul. Your Lake and Riley is a national story. An illegal paroled into America by your president, arrested in New York for endangering a minor, released by Alvin Bragg's prosecutors to go to Atlanta and murder a 22-year-old girl whose skull was so stoved in they couldn't recognize her facially. But ha, 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 Virginia has a border with West Virginia. I mean, you don't need a campaign ad for the next 8 months. That's your campaign ad.
Yeah, unbelievable. This ties in, I'm sure. So Biden, let's see, this is, let's get the right poll here. This is non-white voters. I'm bad at reading these surveys here. So Biden had a 50-point advantage, a 50-point win over non-white voters in 2020. And it's now down to 10 points. And that's blacks and Hispanics. Very little change in the Asian vote, but massive for black and Hispanic. Do you see that in the end? Do you see that being what will happen?
Look, when it comes to minorities, the polls don't always translate into actual votes, right? That's, you know, propensities don't necessarily change into, you know, ticks in boxes. In November, but the trend lines are superb. I mean, just think about it. If we get not 26%, if we get 20% of the black population voting for President Trump, for the white blonde billionaire from Manhattan, that's it. The Democrats' political plantation is done. It's over. There is a new self-emancipation of black America who have been told by the Democrats for 60 years that Republicans are evil and we will help you, as 40% of, you know, black children are aborted in the womb by, you know, Planned Parenthood. Then that plantation is done. Likewise with Hispanics, because really, let's be honest, you know, who's hurt by 8 million illegals in 3 years? It's not you or me. You know, radio hosts aren't going to lose their jobs because of illegals. Who are? It's the recent legal immigrants, right? When Pedro comes here, does his dues, sponsored by his family, waits in line, takes the test, is naturalized, and then he's bussing tables, you know, in Texas. And then along comes Jose and says, hey, I'll do Pedro's job for half what you're paying him, cash under the table. Who gets screwed? It's the Hispanic migrant who came legally. I mean, this is the cynicism of the Democrats. We're here for the minorities. We're here for the small guy. No, you're not. You don't give a crap. You want to just win elections and naturalize tens of millions of people and think because they're brown or black that they'll vote for you. I mean, the ultimate form of bigotry. So this is why we see unprecedented. The numbers for President Trump in the Hispanic community are historic, are truly historic, but we have to make sure that they actually vote. So, you know, you need to make sure that the people you know go to vote in November, not just you and your son and your nephew, everyone you know who may stay at home but realizes that, you know, a packet of, you know, sausage patties shouldn't cost, you know, 30% more than they did when President Trump was in office, or those who remember that a gallon of gas was 180. You got to leverage that and get those people to bring us back to where we were prosperous, secure, and we actually had a border, Mike.
Yeah. My last question for you, Dr. Gorka. Last 2 days, we've talked about TikTok. And I don't really want to talk about the bill itself. We've exhausted that. But just we got into a conversation about addiction itself.
Yeah.
And we're all addicted to phones, and we're all addicted to something. Everyone's addicted all the time. I think it's one of the biggest problems in the country. Have you thought about this? Do you have any insights into addiction itself?
Yeah, not addiction itself. This is going to shock you. I just watched the new documentary on RFK, who I think is not a good person when it comes to his ideas about the Second Amendment and freedom of speech, especially when it comes to the environment. But I didn't know he was a very serious addict in his 20s, really serious issues, and actually homeless for a while. And he said something that kind of struck me. You need to live your life examining every decision you make as a moral decision. Mm. And that kind of hit me, that everything you do has a moral component. Wow. And you need to think about the moral component. Because an addict's life is a life of lies, and you've got to stop lying. So, you know, that's not my wisdom, that's his. I thought it was very profound.
Yeah, that's good.
When it comes to TikTok, it's evil. It should really be banned. It shouldn't be sold to anyone. I mean, why is TikTok, you know, our version of TikTok banned in China? Because the Chinese who run it know that it's a tool of propaganda to brainwash, you know, American children. And the bill is crap. Let's be honest, right? A couple of conservatives got it wrong last night. The bill is crap because it allows the president to decide which social media platform should be banned. No president should have that power, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea that you're selling it to somebody else, well, who do you think is going to buy it? I think Elon Musk's probably a little bit short of cash right now. we've only got one Elon Musk, so who's going to buy it? Another wokerista. So I don't care if it's Beijing who owns it or, you know, Bezos. They're both bad for America, right? And the last piece of advice, put the phone down and read a stinking book. Okay, just for an hour a day, put the phone down, read a book, preferably by an old white guy who's preferably dead, okay? Let's go back to the 16th. Let's go back to Shakespeare. Any book written before the Shakespeare's death, okay? Sit down every day and read a book written by an old dead white guy. I don't care if he's from ancient Greece or he's the bard from Avon. Read a book. Put the phone down. Read a book.
On your recommendation, we talked on Monday to Lord Conrad Black. And before we had him on, I made the joke because his new book is The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1. And I was like, oh, knowing this guy, there's probably, you know, three volumes. And
they're
we had him on. And there's three volumes. Each one's 1,000 pages. So he's alive, but still a good one. A good one to chat with.
Yeah, but he's leveraging the greats, right?
That's it.
I mean, he starts with, you know, Israel and the ancient Greeks. Conrad, guys, just now, if you do one thing for me, buy Conrad Black's new book, The Strategic and Political History of the World, Antiquity to AD 14. And the front cover says Anno Domini, God bless him. As I've always said, if I ever grow up, I want to be like Conrad Black. It is a readable book. You can dip in, dip out. It's the stories of great men through history. Thank you for having Lord Black on.
Well, thank you for mentioning him. I believe I'm going to be on your show on Monday, and it will ruin my weekend, the thought of that happening.
Why?
I don't do that. I'm the other side. I ask the questions. I sit at your feet. I don't answer questions. What do I know?
Tremble in fear.
I'm going to get grilled by the Gorka man for, I don't know, probably like 5 minutes before he hang up on me. I'm like, this stinks. I'm out.
No. You're just going to tell your story. It's every Monday afternoon. It's the manhood hour.
And oh, geez, the manhood. Story. That's even worse. Now I got not like that's I'm now I got to be the man for it. I got to be like a paragon of masculinity.
You can do it.
How am I going to make up a good enough story over by the weekend to get ready for Monday on masculinity and manhood? Jeez, I'd rather be like the
read some books by dead white guys.
That's right, Lord Conrad Black. I'll just be skimming it all weekend. Dr. Gorka, where can we read you and hear you?
Anywhere except the fascists of YouTube who have me still banned. So Twitter, Truth Social, Facebook, Instagram, but for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka. The show is 3 to 6 on Salem stations across the nation every day. We're live on Rumble as well. Podcast, Salem Podcast Network, Stitcher, Google, you name it. The website is sebgorka.com. The latest book is The War for America's Soul. And for unique content by me, I'm putting up my latest article today. It's my Substack, sebastiangorka.substack.com.
Tremendous. Thank you, sir. See you next week.
God bless. See you on Monday.
Yes, sir. We'll be there. I'll be there. Like, hi, Dr. Gorka. The manhood hour. Oh, geez. It was Seinfeld was introduced by Seth Meyers, I think. He's like, and ladies and gentlemen, the funniest man who's ever lived, Jerry Seinfeld. And Jerry came out and was like, Seth, what are you doing? You don't introduce me as the funniest person ever. Now I have to live up to being the funniest person ever. And Gorka's gonna put me on the man hour? I'm American made. I got American parts. So Boeing has a lot of problems. And tomorrow we're gonna talk to an aviation expert at 7:40. About all that, which ain't great, but it's also probably a metaphor for our country too. That's tomorrow's show, 7:40, and then John Nolte at 8 o'clock, as we do every Friday. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Spread the word.